Happy Mother's Day to all you. Why don't your church give you a bless if there's a mother around you, bless her, shake her hand or something like that. If you have a Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke. Right, we all know today is Mother's Day, and so since it's Mother's Day, I'd like to share from Luke chapter 1. I'm feeling like this is like a second church to me. I've been coming here quite often of late. It's a joy to help your pastor. You know, you got a very gracious pastor. You know that? He's a very gracious man. So I do hope that you're mindful of that and that you stand with him, support him. No pastor is perfect. Every pastor has got their weaknesses. So those of you who consider yourself a member of this church, after some time, you will see the weakness of your pastor. And that's the time where how you relate with him and how you view his weaknesses, then it will either bring you closer to him or further away from him. Right? So I do hope that you will support him despite of his weaknesses, because all servants, all pastors have got their weaknesses. That's why we need each other to stand with each other to support one another. Correct? Husband and wife, we also know that we have weaknesses. So do you leave your wife or your husband because of her or his weaknesses? No, correct? We stand with each other actually. We complement, we support one another. And then and if you do that to each other, then a bonding takes place. A relationship is formed. Otherwise, there is no relationship if there is no acceptance of each other. So this morning, I'd like to share from the Gospel of Luke. Since it's Mother's Day, I thought it's appropriate to talk about a very special woman in the Bible. I think by now you should know, since I asked you to turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at Mary. Mary, the highly favored woman of God. That's my title. Mary, the highly favored woman of God. Just in case you think that this is a Mother's Day message, don't close up on me, right? Because though I'll be talking about a woman in the Bible, but there are truths that will be applicable to you and I. Truth that if you take heed of it, it's going to bless you, it's going to help you in your walk with the Lord. So this morning, we're going to look at five truths about Mary, right? About this great woman of God. Five truths about her, right? Let me begin, right? Do you know that her name, Mary in Hebrew, it means bitterness. Any one by the name of Mary here, I don't mean to offend you, but you go and study the Hebrew word meaning for Mary, it means bitterness. So I feel very sad for her. Such a wonderful woman, a privileged woman, but her name is not very wonderful. Her name means bitterness. Anyway, despite the it is derived from the words trouble, sorrow, rebellion, disobedience. So not a very nice name to have, right? Because her name is derived from these words that has got very negative implication. I suppose because of bitterness, one would have much trouble, sorrow, turn to rebellion, or even disobedience. But despite the negative connotation of her name, right? Because her will was totally surrendered to God, God gave her the privilege to be part of his greatest plan for mankind. Correct? So this is something very encouraging for you and I. We may have a very negative name. Maybe your father call you Akau. Akau in Chinese means a dog, you know. In case those of you are not Chinese. So your father, I got friends who are called Akau. That means you're calling him dog, you know. So, I mean, those days, that's how our parents name us, right? Because nowadays things have changed. We are more knowledgeable. Our parents came from China, they got no education. So they call them children, Akau Angyao. Angyao means cat. So how do you like to be called Akau Angyao? But if you have a negative name, you got a bad name, the parents didn't give you a good name, or you have a very bad past, or you always want to go to university, but you never had an opportunity. Maybe you are smart, but your parents got no money. After you're from 5 or from 6, your father said to you, I'm sorry, you got to help me. I can't support the family. So I know people who are like that. They can study, but because of circumstances, they have to work and support the family. So maybe you have some kind of this negative background. I want to encourage you this morning, no matter how negative your background may be, to have a name called bitterness is a very terrible thing. But yet, because her will was surrendered to God, God found it fitting to choose this woman to be part of the greatest plan for mankind. So if your will is surrendered to God, no matter how negative our past or experiences may be, if your will is surrendered to God, God is able to work out something beautiful out of that. Amen? God is able to do make you a part of something great and wonderful in His purpose and plan for you, for your community, for even for mankind. I'm sure you all know Abraham Lincoln, right? So yesterday I went into the internet to just dig out some information about this man. In 1863, March 30th, this man, the President of America, he issued a proclamation expressing the idea that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolate the land of America, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sin. And he designated the day, April 30th, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer, in the hope that God would respond by restoring our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. So he went on to say, it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sin and transgression in humble sorrow. Yet we assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scripture and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed because God is their Lord. Amen. What a powerful proclamation by this Christian man, who history tells is probably one of the most powerful president America ever had. I want to tell you this. Do you know that he was not even a third grade student? You know that? He failed his exam badly. Third grade is quite bad, you know. So some of you are third grade, take comfort this morning. You can become the president of a powerful nation like United States of America. He was a failure in the eyes of the world. But I believe because of his commitment to God, he was a Christian man. He was one of those Christian presidents who introduced some very important thing to America. And one of the things he introduced prayer in school. Right? And that changed the country. But today it's no more the same. So one is not surprised why the American students are very rebellious today. They take guns and shoot people. Because today in America, you pray in the school, you can be prosecuted. You can be put into jail for doing that. But not the time of Abraham Lincoln. Right? And in fact, he's not the only president. I went through, there are others like George Washington, I think Jefferson, and John Adams. These are all Christian presidents. And in their presidency, they begin to honor the word of God. Right? And so you may have a very negative past. You may be a failure, a third grade failure like Abraham Lincoln. But because you fear God, you honor Him, God can use you in a very great and mighty way. Amen? Amen. So this morning, we want to look at five truths about Mary. Right? The first thing about her, why she was chosen is this. And probably this is the most important thing about her. Is her surrendered will. Her surrendered will. Look at verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The paraphrase Bible say it this way. He say, "I am the Lord's servant, and I will do whatever He desires." What a surrendered will! She says to this angel of the Lord. He say, "I am the Lord's servant, and I will do whatever He desires." You know, it's not easy to say this because she's an adult. She know to say this to the angel because you know the angel announced her. The angel told her that you are going to be with child. And she's not married yet. And so to be with child when you're not married is a very horrible thing, right? Even today. And more so during her time. Right? So, but in saying yes to the angel that she is going to be with child, it shows how surrendered her view is. Because to say yes, it means a few things. Number one, it means the possibility of destroying her reputation. A virgin without child. Can you imagine? News was spread. Those days people talk, right? Today people also talk. People talk to Facebook, Twitter, and things like that. But those days they talk, I think they move faster because they talk by mouth and they like to talk, and within days it was spread to the whole city, the whole village where she came from. And there's this virgin that is with a child, right? And so I'm sure all the rumors that was spread. What did she do? And so on. So that's. She say yes, she's saying yes to that. Secondly, she's saying yes to the possible rejection by her own fiancé, Joseph. In fact, Joseph wanted to separate her he didn't want to shame her because he's an honorable man, but he wanted to separate her because he's not going to marry her anymore. When he found out that she is with child and the child is not his child. So, if not for divine intervention, an angel appeared to Joseph. That's why Joseph did not put her away. And then another thing that is possible is that, she knows that she has to take up the responsibility of raising this child, raising her up, and not to fulfill her wish or Joseph's wish, but to fulfill God's wish for him. So it's not easy for her to say yes, but she could say yes to all this. That's why I say she is a very remarkable woman because her will is surrendered to the Lord, right? And this is actually the key that make her an instrument used by God. Do you and I want to be used by God? If you want to be used by God, then our will need to be surrendered to Him. See, it is a wonderful thing to ask God to give you His power. I'm sure you do this in this church. It's a wonderful thing to ask God to manifest His power in signs and wonders and miracles and healing. That's a wonderful thing. But that can also be a very dangerous thing. Why I say it's a very dangerous thing? Because you know that today, there are even pastors who use the power of God to establish their own ministry. They use the power of God to establish their own name and not the ministry of Christ and the name of Christ. If a man or a woman's will is not surrendered to God, and God invests upon him or her tremendous power, then that person can very likely begin to use the power for his own purpose, to accomplish his own will. So it can be a very dangerous thing, right? And to ask God for his power if one's will is not surrendered to him. Right? And but if a person's will is totally surrendered to him, then he is going to be a very powerful channel for God. Because whatever he does with that power, he will do it to fulfill the Father's will and not his will. Right? And so that is the first key. It's so important, right? Her surrendered will. Okay, let me move on. And out of this surrender to the God Almighty, it flows a sweet service unto the Almighty. And that's my second truth about Mary. Her service. Mary was able to give to God sweet service because her will was surrendered to Him. Right? And she was able to raise up Jesus from a helpless baby to an age whereby Jesus is able to fulfill God's plan for his life. And today we celebrate Mother's Day. I want to honor the mothers today because my wife is a mother. My older son is already 22, going to be 23. So I know how difficult it is to raise children. She together we raise up two boys. Right, Matthew is 19. So it's not easy to raise up children right these days. Right, these days, your child can have access for pornography for free. They don't have to go and buy, right? They just have to click the internet and they can get into it, access into it. So modern day parenting is becoming more and more challenging because of all this modern development, which is very good. But at the same time, if it is abused, it can destroy life. It can destroy a youth life. Many youths today enjoy watching pornography, and they do not know that they are actually destroying their life. Christian psychologists who counsel thousands of marriages, one of them is James Dobson. You know that Reagan and George Bush and even Clinton, people like this, they will consult him regarding family matters. They will call him to their office, to the Oval Office, and when they want to make a decision that will affect families of America, they will call this man James Dobson. And James Dobson, in his counseling of thousands and thousands of married couple, including Christian couple, he has found out this. Couple who watch pornography or engage in premarital sex before their marriage, most of them, or all of them, never enjoy a fulfilling sexual life, even after marriage. Because once you have broken the law of God, something happened to the person's emotion, body as well. It's not just a physical thing. It's not just a physical. It's something very powerful. It affects even a person's personality. And he has found out that even Christians that he counseled and tried to help them, many of them never recovered. Many of them never recovered from their premarital sex, from indulging in pornography and things like that, destroying their sexual desire, allowing impurity to come in. And of course, God can restore. That's not bad news. God, I'm not saying God cannot restore. God can restore. But it's a very painful process. And so why destroy something so precious that God has created? And so young people that are here, take heed to what I'm saying this morning. Keep yourself pure. That's one thing I did. I told God, I'll keep myself pure for him and for my wife. I will not touch a woman until I marry her. Right? Keep your life pure. And I tell you, you will enjoy it very much. You'll be very happy that you kept yourself pure. I don't listen to the propaganda of the world. I browse through some of these magazines that people read. They say that if you don't have sex before marriage, then how can you have a fulfilled sexual life? Because you do not know, you're so naive, you're so green, no? It's nonsense. It's not in the Word of God. Right? It's really a lie from the pit of hell to destroy something pure and beautiful that God has created. So keep it pure, my brother and my sister. And you will not regret it. You'll be so proud of yourself that you kept yourself pure. And I tell you, you do your spouse a favor. You don't cheat her or cheat him. By keeping yourself pure, you are actually keeping yourself for somebody else. Right? So that he or she can have a satisfying sexual life with you and not allow sin to taint it and destroy it. For those of us, maybe you committed this sin in time past, and at the time you're non Christian, fine. Don't get discouraged. God, as I say, God can restore. God can restore. But why destroy in the first place and then ask God to restore, right? It's better, it's wiser to keep it pure in the first place. Okay, so because of her surrendered view, it produced in her a sweet service unto God Almighty. So let's look at her service, right? So I was saying to be a mother is not easy, and you have to raise up a child. Now, how difficult to raise up a child, even the physical aspect, cleaning the child, bathing the child, feeding the child, caring for the child when the child is sick, providing meals, washing the clothes, cleaning the house, and extra. The chores, it's just endless. It's just endless. And so at the side, I salute mother, who does all these things for their children, right? See, you don't get a paycheck, right? You go out, if you're a career woman, at the end of every month you get a nice paycheck. Then you can go makan, you can go holiday. But which housewife has got a paycheck for doing all this work? They don't get a paycheck, right? That's why I say it's a very commending work and yet very demanding, because you are not recognized, you're not appreciated, and you're not seen. But the motherhood is so important. Let me ask you this question. The future of a nation, the future of a church depends on what? It depends, correct, on the next generation, the young people that are in this room. And it is the young people, how your life is with God will determine how far amazing grace will go, correct? It's not the adults, because we one day have to pass away. We one day have to retire and pass the baton on to someone else, younger, to continue the work of God. So it's our children will determine the future of the church. It is the children that will determine the future of the nation. And if we, who are parents, don't invest time and energy and money into parenting, which is so important, who is going to produce the leaders of the future? If you leave it to the world to produce the leaders of the future, I tell you, Malaysia got no future. Our government will get more and more corrupt. Remember recently you read the news, our customs officer has siphoned billions of dollars into the pocket. And that is just reported cases. What about the non-reported? So I mean, it's staggering, right? Those who are caught, they estimated billions of dollars has been cheated from the government's coffer. Yes, went into somebody else's pocket. But what about those unreported cases? Because we have now very many ungodly leaders in position of authority. So who is going to raise up godly men and women that will be placed in position of authority in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now? It is us Christian parents, great. We are the only hope of the nation. We are only one that has the ingredient and the help from God to raise up godly seed, godly children. Godly seed are not made from a machine. Godly seed has to be raised from day one. We got to train them and teach them. It's a laboring process. It takes time. It takes sweat. It takes tears. It's a painful process. But it's probably the most rewarding thing. One of my most rewarding things that I've done as a person is to be a father. More than as a pastor. Right, I gave a lot of time to my two sons together with my wife. We spend time with them. We train them in the Word of God. We teach them. We play with them. I used to do all kinds of things with them. You know, my playpen, I want other children to envy them. Most playpen is about 6x6 or 4x6, correct? Huh? No playpen, it's about this size, right? You know the playpen, right? In fact, nowadays they make very small playpen because if you live in an apartment, you can't have the luxury of space. But my son's playpen is about 15 by 15 feet big. I literally turned the house I had had two living rooms, right? The second living room was inside. I turned the second living room into a playpen, right? Because I wanted to have space, because children need space. And I put carpet, I got my friend, my church sister who's an artist, she painted the wall with beautiful pictures of Jesus. I wanted to see Jesus the day they were born. So she painted pictures. I mean, she drew pictures of Jesus on the wall. And I would climb into this human, adult-sized playpen and play with them almost every day when I come back from work. Because June and myself have a goal for parenting. We saw that through parenting, we can produce godly seed for God. Godly seed for God who will influence their generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are not automatically produced. They have to be produced by parents, and it takes years to produce them. Maybe you already parents, don't get discouraged. It could be too late by now. But never mind. You're going to be a grandfather once, right? Then help your children to raise up their children to become godly children. Right? It's never too late. Or you don't have to, then you raise up spiritual children now for the Lord in the church. Right? You may have failed as a father or mother. Doesn't matter. Don't get condemned. You can now use your time and energy, give yourself to the church, support your pastor to raise up godly people in this church. Godly people are raised up. They are not made like that. No. We need to spend time with them. As a pastor, I spend time with my leaders. Because if I don't spend time with them, then I will not have good leaders. Good leaders are not just dropped from heaven. They are made by God and through a servant of God. Through someone, through a human channel. So parenting is so important. This morning I want to encourage those who are mothers. Don't think that mother is just washing the backside, washing a napkin, washing bottles. Of course we do all these things. I come back from church 10:30 at night. I'll be washing bottles, and washing napkins and washing the floor, helping June to midnight, almost every night. It's like that. For us when they were young. But when I do that, I know I'm doing this to produce godly seed for God. That's my vision. I had a vision. Do you have a vision for mothering? Do you have a vision in the next month we'll be celebrating Father's Day? Do you have a vision for fathering? If you don't have a vision for fathering, then you invest your time to build a career. And that's what most modern couples are doing. All they have in their vision is to have a successful career. Nothing wrong with that. But I tell you, you can have a very successful career. One day, you retire. And when you retire, you got nothing left. Nobody remember you anymore. Let me tell you, remember this. You young people don't recognize this. But when you touch 50, you begin to think of some of these things. I know friends who are in their 50s, 60s. Some of them are retired now. They tell me now, nothing else matters. They can be a successful banker, one of the biggest banks in our city. They did very well. But today, they are totally forgotten. Nobody remembers them anymore. But if you are a successful father or mother, I tell you, your children, your grandchildren, they will remember you to the day of your death. They will remember you. They will honor you. I see this in June's parents because they did a tremendous job. Their children are honoring them. They are in their 70s now. And I saw their grandchildren because they train, they love the children and the children honor them. And then the children honor their children. Now I find that their grandchildren are honoring them. I tell you, that make their day, my brother and my sister. They are old already. They are useless to the community. Right? But I tell you, I see them. They love it when we visit them. And when they see their grandchildren, begin to honor them, begin to love them. Don't get caught up with, one of the things that so little priority is given to motherhood these days. All the priority, the emphasis is to build a successful career, have a successful career. That's all that is life. But that's not all, that's not what all life is about, all about, my brothers, my sisters. That's not what all life is about. In fact, the impact you can do through the church, the impact you can do through your family is far more impactful than the impact you will leave to the nation through your job. Of course, you will impact the nation through your job. I'm not saying you did nothing. We need good workers, without doubt, right? As we move towards industrialization, becoming a modern nation, industrialized nation, we need many more, in fact, skilled workers, right? So there's a need for that. But there, nothing is more rewarding than being a mother that God can use in His hand to raise up godly seed. I'm trying to impart this to you. Catch, I caught this before I, even when I was married, I had a vision of what it means to be a good father. I already had that in my heart. And June had that also. So we were married together. She decided, and we talked about it, she decided to quit her job when our first child arrived because she wanted to give her time to raise Joel up. And then Matthew came later on, 3 years later. Right, she made probably more sacrifice than me. Right? But she did it because she shared the vision that I have. We both have the same vision. We had a vision of raising up a godly seed for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you have that vision. Those of you who are not married, who are students today, and one day you get married, do you have a vision for motherhood? Those of you who are guys, do you have a vision for fatherhood? Mary, her service was so excellent to God. She kept her word to the Lord. Earlier, I read to you, she said to the Lord, in the paraphrase Bible, he said, I am the Lord's servant, and I will do whatever he desires. So she kept it. She raised Jesus up. She went through the difficulty, right? But she raised him up because she had said to the Lord, I will do whatever you desire. So since you have given me this baby, Jesus, I will do all the best that I can to raise him up to be a loving, godly son that will fear you. And so she did. She did. She paid, made the sacrifices. She paid the price of a mother. She did everything that needed to be done. Love him, care for him, nurse him, protect him, pray for him, teach him, and etc. So that's the second point, her service. Let's move to the third point. See, her service was further enhanced by this. The third truth of Mary is this. Her sensitivity. To be sensitive to God is so important. Let's look at this verse in verse 49, Luke chapter 2. Let's flip to the next chapter. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And Jesus said, let me give you the background of the story. Joseph, Mary, they have gone, a feast was taking place in the city. So they stay in the village, they move to the city to celebrate the feast. Of course, those days they don't just go alone. They probably went with their brothers and sisters and big family, right? Joseph brothers and others. They all came with their family. So probably crowds of them. They went into the city. Jesus went along. Jesus was 12 years old at this time. So they went along, and then when they finished doing their duties, performing their duties, they all came back. They returned to their hometown. And halfway upon returning, they discovered that Jesus wasn't with them. So they felt worried, and then so they quickly hurried back to the city to look for Jesus. And then they found Jesus in the temple. So now we pick up a story here. And when they found Jesus in the temple, verse 49 say, maybe you should read verse 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? She was very angry, upset with him. Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And Jesus said to them, Why did you seek me? Isn't that very curt of Jesus? Rude. The mother out of concern said, Son, we've been looking for you. Where were you? And Jesus said, Why are you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? So probably this is the beginning of Mary experiencing the pain of the sword going through the soul of her heart. Here, our concern, our love for Jesus, afraid that he might be lost or stolen or beaten by someone. They found him out concerned. They asked him, How are you? And why you do this to us? And Jesus almost like rebuked her. He said, Why are you looking for me? But Mary had a sensitivity to recognize it. See, you maybe go further down in verse 41. Then he went down with them and they came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. What Jesus said to her did not leave her mind. She kept it in her heart. She began to ponder about it. She had a sensitivity to know that God has a different purpose for this boy. God has a different purpose for him. That's why he answered this way, almost rudely to her, in that manner to her. But she recognized that this boy answered that way because there's something about this boy. He's pursuing a certain vision. He's pursuing something. Right? Yes, he said, What does he mean by I must be about my father's business? See, if you are going to be a good servant of the Lord, we need to be sensitive to God. You know, sometimes when we are not sensitive to God, let me give you an example. If someone is sick, what will you do? If someone is sick, so we will say, come, let's go and pray for the person, let's go and visit him in the hospital, correct? That's what we all do, right? Or someone passed away, or something, we can pray for him or visit the person. But you know what Jesus did when they told Jesus that Lazarus, one of his best friends, Lazarus, said, Lazarus is dead, come quickly, perhaps you can raise him up from the dead. But did Jesus go back straight away? I said, no. Jesus deliberately stayed where he was for another 3 days before he returned to where Lazarus was. You know why? Because he was so sensitive to God, he knew that God allowed this death for his glory. God wanted to show his glory to the people. If Jesus were to return straight away and raise him from the dead, it would not be as glorious as 3 days later. Because people can say that, oh, he actually didn't die. He just lapses, right? Lapses only. He didn't die. But Jesus waited for 3 days to make it clear to everyone that this man is dead. Because the Bible says that when they opened the cave, his body, there was a smell coming out of the body. That means it's already as dead as dead. Huh? As dead as dead. So Jesus deliberately waited because this death has a purpose. It's to bring glory to God. If Jesus was not sensitive to the Father's will, he would immediately rush to the scene. Like many of us do that. When someone is sick, we rush to the scene. We attend to needs straight away. We attend to the needs straight away. Because especially if you have a caring and concerned heart, you say, oh, it's so uncaring. If someone is sick, you just do nothing. So you can blame Jesus for being very uncaring. His best friend, his good friend, his good friend, passed away, and he didn't even bother to go and see him, to say goodbye to him, to pay his last respect, we say in Chinese. He just stayed there. Jesus seemed so insensitive. But was he insensitive? Was he insensitive or was he sensitive? He was sensitive to God. But so you can say he was insensitive to the feelings of people. So which one do you want? You want to be sensitive to the feelings of people or sensitive to the feelings of God? I'm not saying you trample on people's feelings. But sometimes, in order to be sensitive to God, we might have to trample on people's feelings. We might have to do things that displeases people. Of course, what Jesus did, that's why even before he arrived, Martha came and they accused him. Didn't you not care? Why didn't you come back earlier? Go and read the scripture in John. They accused Jesus. And Mary and Martha were also Jesus' good friend. They accused him for being uncaring. But Mary, it's the same here. She's a woman that is very sensitive to the Lord. This is a very important truth. For those of us who wants to really be a servant of the Lord, you need to train your spirit man to be sensitive to God. If you are just sensitive to man, to your fellow man, that is good. But it's not good enough to become a servant of the Lord. A servant of the Lord need much more to be sensitive to the voice of God, to know what God wants to do in every situation. Right? And so her sensitivity is so important. Right? And we all know mothers are very sensitive. You know, mothers are they are very sensitive to children more than anyone else. They can respond to things. I am amazed with June. Right? Certain sound to me is nothing, but to her it speaks a certain message to her, because they can pick up things that our children are saying to them without uttering in exact words, but certain expression, certain look on their face. She will know that that's what they want. I don't know, your children, you should be thankful to your mom who are sensitive to your needs, who knows what you want. And mothers tend to be like that, right? But I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you and I sensitive to God's plan? See, God has a plan for amazing grace. God has a plan for your life. Are you sensitive to that plan? Because if we are not sensitive to His plan, then we will not be able to fulfill His plan, correct? So, God may want to use you. Do you know why God is prospering your business? Are you sensitive to God's plan in prospering your business? Why God put you in a certain place? So if our will is not surrendered to Him, we will not be able to do what God wants to do. And if we are not sensitive, we are surrendered but we are not sensitive, then we do not know what God wants. So it's so important to train ourselves. Maybe you can begin by praying, God, Give me a heart that's sensitive to you, that I can know what you are saying, what you are doing. Right? And amen. And that, so that is so important. Let's move on. Point number four. Her sorrow. Let's look at her sorrow now. Her sorrow. I think Mary's deepest sorrow was probably to see Jesus scoff at, mock at, and finally hung on the cross, hanging on the cross. Will you agree with me? This prayer will be probably her deepest sorrow, right? But the Bible said that she did not avoid that sorrow. Right? She did not avoid it. She drank her bitter cup of bitterness, just like Jesus did. She went through it. And you know why she can do it? She can hold on to it because she was totally surrendered to the Lord. He said, I am the Lord's servant. I will do whatever you desire. It is a very difficult thing for a mother to watch the son being beaten, being stripped, being scorned, being spat at, and then brought through the city streets, carrying the cross, bleeding all over. His body, the Bible says, his physical appearance was marred beyond description, that you cannot recognize him anymore. It's a very painful thing, particularly for the mother, to watch this son that she has raised now, watch him treated like an animal. But Mary went through that. That's amazing. She went through it. Watched the son dragged through the streets of the city and then to Golgotha. And finally, watching her son dying on the cross. When we serve the Lord, I don't think anyone else will be called to walk that kind of step. But when we want to serve the Lord, the path to serving the Lord is never easy, my brother and my sister. It involves pain and sacrifice. It involves difficulties and hardship. And it's the same with Mary. Mary had to drink her cup of bitterness to see the son dragged to the cross and dying there, so that God can bring salvation to mankind. Right? And so that's so important. If we want to be used by the Lord, we need to learn to know how to respond to our sorrow. See, our sorrow can either destroy us, or our sorrow can become a stepping stone for us to go further. And for Mary, it was a stepping stone. Despite the pain and the sorrow she has to go through, she did not lose hope. She did not give up. Now, how do I know that? Because if she were to give up, then she would have forsaken her faith, right? She would not be there in the upper room. The Bible tells us that at the upper room, there were 120 people there. And who were among the crowd? Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's why I say she did not lose hope. She somehow had the hope that this child is special. God was working out his great and eternal plan to this child. Even though she cannot recognize it, it seems to go the opposite way. When they saw her son being beaten and scorned and scoffed and mocked and then dragged to the cross of Calvary, and where there he hung and bled to death. Right? Her mind probably cannot understand her feelings more. Well, she was confused and not sure what's going on. See? I hear that the angel saying to me that he is the son of God, the savior of the world. But what is happening now? The savior of the world has now been put to death on the cross. It's almost like everything is coming down, coming to an end. But Mary, in her sorrow, she was able to lift up her heart to God and trusted God that God knows better. God's wisdom is higher than her wisdom. And she hung on to that. That's why she was at the upper room waiting for the promise of her father. She had the hope that in the plan and the purposes of God. So I want to encourage you. See, because when we are called to serve the Lord, sometimes the path that you and I have to go through may seem to be unsuccessful, as it were. May seem to be it may look like it's a defeated plan. It's a defeated project. But do we realize that behind that God is working out something more powerful? So we need to be able to see that in our sorrow, don't give in to discouragement and disillusionment and despair and doubt and fear. Because sometimes the sorrow that we have to go through, I'm not saying all sorrow, if the sorrow is due to your sin and my sin, then that's different. But when the sorrow that we have to go through is because we are following the will and the purposes of God, then hang in there, my brother, my sister. Because if you hang in there, then God will be able to work out what He wants to work out in your life and my life. Right? See, mothers have many concerns for their children, see. Right? I'm sure you have many children concerned. Maybe you're concerned for your children's education. Your children concerned for your children's wealth. You're concerned that you don't have enough money to support them, to send them to university and all these things. Can you lift up your concern to God this morning? Can you surrender that concern to God and learn to trust Him and believe that God will take care of those concerns, because it's also a concern to Him. See, the concern that it is to you, in fact, is a greater concern to God the Father who cares for all us. Right? So in our sorrow, don't despair. Learn to trust Him. Learn to turn to the Lord. And finally, her Savior. In Mary's deepest sorrow, she found a Savior whom she can trust. And this is so important. In our difficulty, in our failure, in our sorrow, do we know how to turn to the Lord and trust Him and depend on Him? Because sometimes it's so pivotal, it's so important to be able to turn to the Lord and trust Him. Right? Many of us, we know Him as the Savior of our sin. Right? That's why we become a Christian. But it's not enough just to know Him as a Savior of sin. We need to know Him as the one we can turn to for help, for wisdom, for comfort, for strength, for encouragement, for guidance, and etc. We need to be able to turn to the Lord to be our Savior, not just to save from our sin, but to be our Savior all the days of our life, right? Let me read this verse to you in Isaiah chapter 58. Maybe before that, there's a verse here that I want to read to you. Isaiah 14. It says, "It shall come to pass in the day the Lord give you rest from your sorrow." I forgot to mention to you just now that in our sorrow, there's a day of rest. It's a day of rest. Well, let's move on to our Savior. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58 verse 11. "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden whose water do not fail." Amen. The Bible says that God will guide us continually. He will satisfy our soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden whose water do not fail. See, God promised to guide us continually. Maybe you are at a crossroad in your life. You need to make important decisions. You do not know what decision to make regarding your future, regarding your career, regarding your children, or regarding your business or something else. See, the Bible, God promised, He said, "I will guide you continually." So you can lay hold upon the promise of God and say, "God, I will trust you that you give me the wisdom to make the right decision for this situation that I'm in. Your wisdom be upon me. Your guidance be upon me." So we need to learn to turn to the Lord. For instance, if you need guidance, we need to be able to turn to the Lord if you are sick, to receive healing from Him. Right? Let me read to you another verse from Psalm 27. Psalm 27 verse 1 and 2. "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foe, they stumble and fail." Amen? The Bible says that God is your light and your salvation. We shouldn't fear anyone. We shouldn't fear anything. We shouldn't fear death, fear the future, fear not having enough money, fear of sicknesses. Because God says, "I am your light. Do not be afraid. I am the strength of your life." Right? See, even when the wicked come against you, or when sickness come upon you, they will stumble and fall. Amen? Your enemy will stumble and fall. If we trust in the Lord and don't doubt and don't give in to fear, then God will cause our enemy. Maybe in the office, someone is against you and been saying bad things to your boss about you. False things, false accusations, etc. If you put your trust in God, God will cause your enemy to stumble and fall before you. That's His promise to you and I. That He will protect you and I because we are His favorite one. Then another verse in the same chapter of Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27 verse 5. "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall hide me high upon the rock." You know, there's a place of refuge in God that God has kept for His people. In fact, I believe that God has a secret place for every child of His. God has a secret place for you. And this secret place, the Bible says, is found where? In the tabernacle. In other words, in His presence. So when you are fearful, when you are confused, when you are lost, when you are discouraged, when you are sick, if you learn to go to the secret place of the Lord, you learn to go into His presence, there you will find help from the Lord. But the thing is that many Christians do not know how to go to the secret place. They do not. When they are in trouble, they turn to the left and turn to the right. They turn to the pastors, they turn to the leaders. But they do not know to turn to the Lord. See, the scripture says that in the time of trouble, numbers, in the time of trouble, God will hide you in His pavilion. We got a big mall here called pavilion. Pavilion's name means shelter. So it's a very beautiful name. Beautiful name. So God is saying to you and I, in our trouble, there is a pavilion where He will hide us from our enemies, from our trouble, from the difficulties. So we need to learn to go into that secret place. You can go into the secret place, you go in by trust, by prayer, meditating the word of God. That's how you enter into the secret place of the Lord. You go into the place, you take hold of scripture. Example, if you are sick, I will take hold of scripture, by His stripes I am healed. And I put my faith upon that scripture, I believe it, I begin to pray for my own self. I say, God, by Your stripes I am healed. That's what I mean by going into the secret place of the Lord, to find help. You take hold of the scripture of God and you begin to believe it and begin to appropriate for your own life. And then you will experience God healing, begin to minister to you, touch you. Right? And without even taking medicine, the power of God can heal you by your own prayer. Right? And He said, He shall hide me high upon the rock. I mean, this is wonderful. Rock is always speak of stability and strength. So God promised you tonight, when everything is been shaken, when your job position has been shaken, the boss tell you that we are not, the company is not doing well, we got to downsize, so we had to cut off maybe 1/3 of the staff. So it can be a very shaky position, correct? But God said, I'll hide you upon a rock. Meaning that even when your company that you work in is being shaken, it's going to be downsized, God will hide you upon a rock. If you are one of them that will be retrenched, don't fear, because God will open another job for you. Because He promised that. He said, I will hide you high upon a rock. A place of security, a place of stability, where when things have been shaken, you can stand upon the rock and not be shaken. Amen? So I want to encourage you. Make Mary, the fifth thing about Mary is that Mary knew her Savior. So you and I got to know our Savior. Do you know your Savior beyond salvation, beyond forgiveness of your sin? Do you know Him as your Savior at every point of your life, at every turn of difficulty and trouble? We are able to turn to Him as our Savior. So let me close by giving you the 5 points again about Mary. Mary was a privileged woman and she was chosen to do such an important task. It's mainly because of her surrendered view. It's her view surrendered to God. And secondly, and out of that surrendered view, it was her service. She was able to give sweet service to the Lord. And the third thing about her is her sensitivity. She was sensitive to the voice of the Father. She was sensitive to the plan and the purposes of God. And fourthly, her sorrow. In her sorrow, she knows how to trust God. In your sorrow and my sorrow, in your financial lack, do we know how to trust Him? Do we know how to turn to Him? That's important. And finally, her Savior. She is able to find the Lord, make her Lord to be her Savior in every needs of her life. In every needs of her life. And this is so important. So Mary has become a mature woman. She has experienced great joy and happiness, but at the same time, she also experienced deep sorrow, where no other woman has or will ever encounter. Right? But her attitude hasn't changed. She has proven with her life that she meant the word she spoke to the angel of the Lord, right from the beginning, when the angel announced to her that she's with child from on high. She said, I am the Lord's servant. I will do whatever He desires. Can you and I say this to the Lord? God, I am your servant. I will do whatever you desire. It is only when your view and my view is surrendered to this manner, I tell you, you become a very powerful instrument in the hands of God. You know, Satan is no match to the church. Satan is no match to you and I if your view and my view is totally surrendered to God. But when your view and my view is not totally surrendered to God, I tell you, Satan can cause havoc in your life and my life. Because God cannot do anything. Because if we, our will is not surrendered to God, we give room to the devil, Satan will come and inflict us. God can't do anything because God has given us a free will to choose. So we have to make a free will to choose. So if we choose to be totally surrendered to God, no matter what harassment the devil put upon you, I tell you, God will deliver you out of the harassment. He is no match to him. So the question is not how whether you are able to overcome Satan or not. Of course we can overcome him. He was already defeated at Calvary. We mustn't forget that. Christ defeated him at the cross. Totally stripped him. Colossians say that he was totally stripped of all his power and authority. He's now made powerless at Calvary. But what gives Satan's power is when your will and my will is not surrendered to God. When we want to do our own thing. And then Satan will cause havoc in your life and my life. That's why the church can, Satan can cause havoc in the church, can divide the church, can cause problems in the church, because there are men and women in the church that want to do their own thing, not the God's thing. They want to pursue, they are pursuing their own view and not the view of the Father. That's why when people are pursuing their own view, then there's a battle of view. But when all us are surrendered to God, we pursue the view of the Father, there's oneness and unity in the church. There will not be battles of view, but there will be unity of hearts, purpose and vision. God only gives one vision to every church. So if you have a vision that is different from your pastor, something is wrong with that vision. Sorry, I have to say that. Because God gives his vision to the pastor. Then you speak to the leaders and to the members. And then when the pastor shares with the leaders and members, they will confirm. And that's how you conquer and know that this is the view of the Father. Correct? But if one of us arise and say that to the pastor, I believe God wants to do this because I have a vision of God. I saw Jesus face to face. So I don't care no matter how dramatic the vision is. But if that vision does not agree with the pastor and the leaders of the church, that vision is very I suspect that vision is from the Lord. Because God will never divide his church. Two visions will divide a church, right? God never gives two visions to a church. He always gives one vision to a church. And he always gives it to the pastor. Then what's the pastor for? But he will also speak to the leaders and to the members, and the members will concur. Right? And it's so important. As I close, let me ask you this question: is your will and my will surrendered to God? Because if your will and my will is surrendered to God, we will see the glory of God. Satan dare not come into Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship because he's afraid of you. Because when you are surrendered to him, you are doing the will of God. When he come against you, you know who he's coming against? He's coming against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the kings and king and Lord of Lords will not leave him alone. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords will do the same thing to him that the Son of God did to him at Calvary. Smack him on his head. So that's how you do spiritual warfare. You begin by first surrendering your will to God. Because if your will is not surrendered to God, when you go into spiritual warfare, I tell you, you'll be probably the first victim in warfare. A surrendered view is so important. So this morning, I want to close with this. Is your view and my view surrendered to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Can we say the same thing like Mary said? I am the Lord's servant. I will do whatever you desire. Think carefully before you say yes. Because as I showed you this morning, it will cost you. When Mary said yes, she knew the implication. And she had to go through the implication. When she said yes to the angel that she will receive this child. And be found a virgin without child. We all sing, we say, very great, correct? In the carol, virgin without child. But we never saw the implication. Can you imagine you are a virgin woman and whole town know you are this girl with child. Belum kahwin lagi. Sudah ada anak. Not married, already had child. You know the ridicule you got to face. Mary had to go through, God did not allow her to escape all that. She had to walk through that path. Because when she say yes to the master, it's lock, stock and barrel. Yes to everything. To all the entire purposes and plan of God. God is looking for men and women this morning who will say yes to his plan. God has got a great plan for your church. But he can only fulfill his great plan through people who are yielded, whose view is yielded and surrendered to him. Let's close in prayer. I ask the musician to come and maybe help me. Let's sing this song that you sang earlier on. This is my desire. This is my desire. Shall we stand? Let's stand. As we sing this song, let's open our heart to him. And let's offer our view in surrender unto Him.
This is my desire to honor You, knowing for my heart I worship You.
As we close in prayer, have you been struggling with God in a certain area? If you have been, can I ask you whether you will do what you just sang just now? Lord, have Your way in me. Because if you and I allow God to have His way in our life, look at what happened when Mary allowed God to have His way in her life. She saved the whole world from sin. The whole world was going to be destroyed by that sin. But one woman put an end, a stop to all that. One woman brought salvation to the world. She brought forth the Savior of the world. See how powerful it is when our view is surrendered to Him. When we let God do what He wants, then God can do powerful things. But when we want to do what we want, then God can only do little things. So I encourage you this morning, allow God to do what He wants. Then God can do powerful things through your life and my life. Let's pray. Father, I pray this afternoon, I pray for all us here in this room. Lord, I pray particularly for anyone here in this room that could be struggling in their own way with You. Holy Spirit, I pray that You help my brother or my sister to yield to You, to surrender, to be able to say like Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, I will do whatever He desires. So Father, I pray the same grace that Mary had, Lord, may my brothers and my sister, particularly those ones that are struggling with your view, and Lord, and I pray that they will have the grace to be able to surrender their view to You and embrace God's view for their life. Because Lord, the best thing that we can do is to embrace Your view. To let You have Your way in our life. And just like Mary, Lord, You did a powerful thing. You used her to bring in the Savior of this world. Lord, likewise, You are looking for men and women that will allow You to do what the powerful thing that You want to do in their life in this church again. And Father, I pray that there will be people in this room, in this church, that will say, respond like Mary responded to You. Lord, I will do whatever You desire. Thank You, Father. So we bless You. We bless You. We thank You, Father. We thank You.